CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Chinese economy, non-transparent. Bold statements to the contrary, we're not certain. However, there is reporting, Financial Times, within hours, Chinese factory activity declines in April on weak global consumption. Services and construction still show expansion, indicating uneven recovery across post-COVID economy. My colleague and friend Gordon Chang joins me, Gatestone Newsweek in The Hill. Gordon, this is not a surprise to you. The detail here is that the FT is still looking for an uneven recovery, a glass half full. Is that a fresh metaphor, or is this something that China is just shopping to see if we accept it? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It does appear that the Chinese economy is continuing to stumble. If you look at official numbers and anecdotal information, it appears that there was a contraction in the January-February period, which is combined for reporting purposes. March, there might have been somewhat of a little bit recovery, though not as pronounced as Beijing claims. And really what we're seeing is a Chinese economy that is still dependent on exports is having problems because recessions loom elsewhere, including the United States.
We welcome our colleague Ann Stevenson Yang, author of the new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation, and how to read these factory reports in comparison to the services report. My general understanding is that China is dominated by exports, not by internal consumption. Good evening to you, Ann.
Hi, John. So I would point to two things. Number one, the services resurgence is really not particularly strong. If you look at the underlying numbers in restaurant consumption, in sales of products, in purchases of sporting goods and electronics and white goods, then all of those things are really quite weak, especially compared with January, February. As for the industrial economy, I mean, you're looking at an increase in investment in, for example, the auto industry of, I believe it was 9% for Q1, and yet a decline in auto production. You're looking at steel prices that are tumbling, steel mills that are closing down, their blast furnaces. We have something like a 49% utilization rate for blast furnaces nationally, according to MySteel. So the picture is really not positive.
I go to a Bloomberg report, Anne, which is bizarre. This is Bloomberg. Just as China's leaders look to attract more overseas investment, expatriates in the world's second biggest economy are becoming worried about a potential fresh wave of probes targeting foreign companies. U.S. consultancy Bain & Company confirmed this week that Chinese authorities questioned staff at its Shanghai offices without revealing details on the nature of the investigation. What? Have we seen this before, Anne? Do the ministries not talk to each other? Charm offensive and brutality.
Yeah, well, there has been a lot of pressure on research firms in the past, but Bain did surprise me a little bit because it's rather large and has a lot of resources internationally. And of course, it's tied to the large private equity. I think that, the reporting in the Wall Street Journal by Ling Ling Wei said that the reason fundamentally was because China wants to control the narrative on the economy. I find that a bit puzzling because clearly detentions and questionings of independent research firms makes the narrative worse. But I really don't know what's going on.
Gordon, the Bloomberg report also mentions the New York-based due diligence firm Minsk Groups and also mentions a Japanese drug maker, Astellas Pharma. Do you see a pattern here, Gordon? Thank you.
Yeah, the pattern is, as Anne suggests, and that is Beijing is moving to control the narrative. And it's doing it in a way which, as she says, is undercutting itself. The closure of Minsk Group office in March and the detention of all of the China-based employees is really concerning because it does mean that the information that we're going to get is going to be restricted, and especially changes to the counter-espionage law worrying the foreign business community, as we have seen from various comments throughout the last week or so.
You have a question for Anne, Gordon.
Anne, what do you account for the change or apparent change in attitude of the authorities with regard to charm offensive as well as these detentions and other attempts to censor the information?
Gordon, I think that it's an underappreciated point that China is politically really, really volatile and perhaps in internal chaos right now. We've seen a lot of external signs of power struggle among different factions of the leadership, and I think that on one hand, you have people going to Davos and saying, oh, foreign companies are like our children. And on the other hand, you have people being detained and arrested. So I think it suggests not just ministries not talking to each other, but actually people freelancing in policy.
And about these factory reports, everything turns on factories, but that's the export model. It also means unemployment or employment. Is there a sense that we're not seeing the unemployment numbers in China? I did see a random report recently telling college graduates to apply for agricultural jobs or something about working with your hands. Is that Ouch. Is that the Chinese way of saying we've got unemployed young people?
I don't know, John. The unemployment number, even the one that's supposedly collected by survey, has been very eerily static for a long, 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 long time. In fact, the IMF had a paper on how it was excessively static and therefore not believable. The youth unemployment number, which is published in a more realistic fashion, I don't know why, has actually increased over the quarter. And that is a concern. It's nearly, I think it's at 18% right now, maybe 19%.
Gordon, the novelist in me, I can't restrain him. Xi Jinping is said to have suffered by the Red Guards and sent into the countryside, perhaps living in a cave when he was a teenager. In other words, a man who has lost his education opportunity because of the brutality of the regime. That, in a novel, would be a predicate for treating people the same way, saying, it made me, it'll make them. Is that credible, Gordon? Do we do personality with Xi Jinping?
Well, that is credible, John. It's also Xi Jinping is a true believer. He reveres Mao Zedong. And there's one thing that we have seen throughout the decades of Communist Party rule, and that is that when officials are persecuted, they tend to still love the party and saying that the party's decision was correct, which really shows that this has become a religion more than a political system. So Xi Jinping's behavior is consistent with what we have observed throughout decades of the communists being in power.
You have a question for Anne. We have about a minute.
Anne, on consumption numbers, there is some distinction between discretionary and non-discretionary spending. If you could talk about that.
Yeah, that's true, Gordon. I mean, we have and the discretionary spending does seem to be very, very poor. In fact, trending negative, except in a couple of little product categories. It seems that people came out of lockdown feeling very cautious about their prospects and about the reliability of their income. And so they're holding on to the money they have.
Anne Stephenson Yang, our colleague, is the author of the forthcoming new edition of China Alone, Return to Isolation. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bachelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.